the rest of the story. Just about everybody in town recognized Milton Snavely. Even if they didn't know his name, Milton was the candy peddler, sold caramels from a pushcart. To his customers who made their purchases and hurried on their way, Milton's may have seemed a miserable existence, especially when they observed neighborhood bullies gleefully hurling stones at him, or when he was seen shivering in the snow or trudging through the streets after dark, his arms laden with sacks of sugar and supplies for his confections. Milton made the caramels himself, you see, often walked miles to get fresh milk from local farms. His mother and his aunt helped by wrapping and packaging the candy. And still Milton Snavely, who had dreamed so long of glorious success, only to have it elude him time and time again. Milton, yet unmarried, nearly 40, chronically ill from overwork and most always in debt, nonetheless cheerfully engaged in each day's humble enterprise, which in itself led some to believe that in addition to being lonesome and miserable, the candy peddler was also a little touched in the head. But this is the rest of the story. One day, Milton was approached by an English businessman, a fellow named Decise, who said that he would like to import Milton's caramels. When Milton grinned, shook his head, he could barely make enough caramels to sell from his pushcart, he replied. But then it dawned on him, maybe this was the big score he had so eagerly awaited. "Listen, Milton," asked Mr. Decise, "will you give me some time to work on this?" The Englishman said of course he would. So Milton rushed to his Aunt Mattie, begged her to lend him the use of her house on Queen Street as security for a bank loan. Happily she agreed, and although at first one bank after another turned him down, eventually he did acquire a $700 loan for 90 days, and Milton then bought some equipment. He began mass-producing caramels, and what do you know? The English loved them. Loved them so much that within only a few years they had made the once-indebted street peddler an internationally successful caramel tycoon. A big league confectioner with a city block-sized factory and 2,000 employees. You'll understand, then, why those who had known him through the long, lean years were aghast when in 1900, after a comparatively brief period of prosperity, Milton Snavely, age 42, up and sold his entire business to the American Caramel Company. "I know it seems reckless," he half apologized, but the wise old businessman of the community knew what had happened. They realized that, incredible as it seems, some folks are just plain afraid of success. And that despite protests to the contrary, most street peddlers just plain prefer street peddling. For years thereafter, Milton's whereabouts and whatabouts were rather a mystery to the townsfolk who had tracked his remarkable rise and apparent fall. Some said that he was off cooking up a new recipe of some kind. Others just said, "Oh, I heard that he had died," and dismissed it at that. But now, whenever you think of him, I hope you'll recall a middle-aged man with a pushcart, selling caramels through the byways of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, dodging rocks thrown by street urchins and shivering in the snow. The man who became the caramel tycoon who abandoned his dream come true to create another brand new candy bar that still bears the name of Milton Snavely. Hershey. Now you know the rest of the story.